Everybody knows where you go when the sun goes down. I think you only live to see the lights uptown. I wasted my time when I would try, try, try. 'Cause when the lights have lost their glow, you'll cry, cry, cry. Soon your sugar daddies will all be gone. You wake up some cold day and find you're alone. You'll call for me, but I'm gonna tell you bye, bye, bye. When I turn around and walk away, you'll cry, cry, cry.
You're all right, and here we are back on the podcast.
Oh, hi.
Back with Evan. Say hello, Evan.
How you doing?
Doing all right. It's just the two of us this week. Corey is recovering from laser eye surgery. He may or may not have gotten the eyes of a serial killer.
Or the eyes of Cyclops.
So we will not be participating in this week's episode, which is fine because it's going to get a little dusty in the room. It's going to get a little sensitive.
It's going to get a little misty.
Somebody's cutting some onions in the kitchen. We're doing top five movies that made us cry.
Made us weep.
Like the children that we are.
Weep. Big man tears.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know... I put out a feeler on Facebook. I said, give me to the people on my list, give me a movie that made you cry. Like 10 minutes passed, I didn't get one movie. I was like, I knew no one would want to admit, you know, movies that made them cry. And then an hour later, I had a shitload of movies.
A lot of people responded.
Yeah, it was
a lot of people.
It was a good turnout. So I said I'm not gonna mention everybody by name because I didn't ask for that privilege. I should have said if you comment, I'll say your name.
Yeah, people might not want to be named though.
Yeah, so I'll just name the movies that everybody talked about. So yeah, we're gonna do top five movies that made you cry. Movies that were so effective that they made you weep. Say again, Sage?
You didn't
say my name. Sage is here, and she gave me a list. Not a list, but she gave me a couple of movies that I'm gonna mention that made her a little weepy, a little choked up. But like every episode, we're going to talk about what we've been watching.
And what we've been drinking.
And what we've been drinking. Evan, what are you drinking tonight?
All right, here we go. I'm drinking out of an X-Men glass that you provided.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking a beer called Tank 7 that I just bought on a whim from Boulevard Smokestack series.
Right.
Boulevard Smokestack series. It's a farmhouse ale.
Oh, good.
I don't know what the fuck that means, but it's a farmhouse ale.
Made at a farmhouse.
Yeah. It's
it's got real cow.
8.5% alcohol by volume.
Very important.
I'm going to read the back. I'm going to tell you a tale. It's short, so...
Okay, let's keep it short.
Yeah. A refreshing American rendition of a classic Belgian style, Tank 7 starts with a surge of alluring aromatic, lush notes of tropical fruit, deftly frame its sweet body of crisp...
Body of Christ?
Body of... No, crisp.
Oh.
Crisp from,
Kindergarten Cop.
Right. Crisp. Bready malt. I don't like that bready malt. I guess all beers are bready.
There's a loaf of fucking bread in that thing.
All right, so let's take a sip.
Yeah, let's can we have a sip, please?
Here we go.
All right, it's in his mustache, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. That beer, it's quite the head on it, and it is now located in the mustache. How is it?
It's good.
It's good? You gotta try.
It's wheat. It's very wheat.
That is good, I actually like that.
It's a Belgian wheat.
I like it.
It's a good beer.
So that's what Evan's drinking. I'm drinking Corona.
That's it.
Just Corona.
Silence.
No story behind it.
I got Tank 7 from a sale, and you're just like, Corona.
Yep. So that's what I'm drinking.
Is it a light?
It's extra.
It's holy Corona. Shit.
Jesus.
It's extra.
So that's what we're drinking tonight. We're going to have some beers and talk some movies. And maybe if we have too many beers, we're going to get a little weepy talking about movies.
I've already had two, so...
All right. All right, so I'm going to start on what I've been watching. I watched a documentary. It came out in 2013, which is the current year that we are living in.
Yes.
It was directed by a young man named Cullen Hoback. He narrates and directs. This is a movie called Terms and Conditions May Apply. And it is a documentary about the fact that no one ever reads the terms and conditions to their, you know, their iTunes or their Facebook or whatever.
Well, who wants to?
It's too much. It's too long.
And it's very tiny print, so.
And it's printed in all capitals, which they pointed out. It's very difficult. They make it very uninviting for a good reason, yeah. Which is basically the terms and agreements that you agree to, that, you know, that you are participating in this website, basically making all this information you're putting online public. And it basically goes into that, like, you know, the whole Big Brother concept is, like, in bed with big business. And that's the point of all these, of these terms and agreements that, like, you know, I agree and, you know, to what, you know, I'm going to put up all this information about myself. And these sites are basically, like, moving your information. You know, Facebook moves it to Google and Google, you know, tries to sell you shit. And it uses a lot of really good examples. To be honest, like, it's a really good documentary. It's very informative. It's a little scary at times, like, just how much your information is out there. It should be a good wake-up call to a lot of people. But I really wanted to get more into, like, the modern malaise of, like, yeah, you know, nothing's private anymore, but we all signed up for it. And I wanted them to get into that a little bit, like, how no one really gives a shit.
It's our fault for not reading it, I guess. But
right. I mean, like, I wanted him to kind of explore, like, the apathy of this generation. And generations past, because everyone's parents are on Facebook, too. But it's fast-paced. It's well-told. It's a good documentary. I definitely recommend it. I thought there's a part at the end that sort of pissed me off. It's like this guy's big, like, the big finale is he, like, corners Mark Zuckerberg and, like, ask him a bunch of questions, and Mark Zuckerberg's like,
I hate it when they do that.
It's his version of, like, the Charlton Heston scene. Bowling for Columbine.
That part was funny.
Except,
though,
like, Zuckerberg doesn't really come off like a dick. He just is, like, just kind of, like, wants to be left alone.
Yeah, leave me alone, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. Like, you could tell, like, they really drummed up the, like, oh, we, you know, this is, like, the big climax of the movie, and, like, look, he doesn't want to be bothered, but yet he's giving away everybody else's privacy, and it's like, it's circumstantial.
I feel like they do that in every documentary, like in Super Size Me, when McDonald's just didn't want to talk to him, but, like, yeah. I've heard so much about how that documentary's full of shit.
Right. So I thought that was a really weak way to end the documentary when there's so much more to explore, but it's not super long. I think it was only 90 minutes. Definitely worth watching. I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
It would have made a 4 if it wasn't. I thought that ending was cheap. Yeah. That was really cheap. And I'm not, like, a huge Zuckerberg fan. I can take him or leave him. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But it was a lot more ineffective than the filmmaker let on. Like, you know, it was like, oh, we got him. You know, it was like, kind of like, they tried to make it like it was this gotcha moment. Like, look, he doesn't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's, like, in front of his house, like, walking his dog or something. Like,
he didn't ask for this documentary.
Right. And, like, I don't know. It is what it is. And I watched a television show, one that I was anticipating for a long time now.
I haven't seen it.
No, but I'll talk about it.
I will, but I don't know.
It's a show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was developed by Joss Whedon. He wrote and he helped write, but he directed the first episode. And it was good-ish. It didn't blow my socks off. I thought it wasn't what I wanted. And I that sounds selfish of me, because it's like I wanted the show that I wanted. I could see why people like it. I'm not going to say, you know, you're stupid for liking it. I just thought it was the plot was okay, and it had some good twists. I think my biggest problem came from the cast. I thought the cast was really bland.
Very generic?
Very generic.
I just can't stand TV shows where everyone's like this pretty, super good-looking characters.
Yeah.
I hate it.
J. August Richards was actually the best actor in the entire show.
Oh.
And it was a one-shot for him.
He's not coming back?
No, he played Gunn in Angel,
yep.
Which is my favorite Joss Whedon.
He's one of the best characters.
Yeah, he's still there, but he's not... maybe he'll pop back up. He's not a main character.
He's not, like, a superhero?
He isn't. You have to watch it. I don't want to give too much away.
All the negative things I've heard... I haven't watched it yet, and I'm going to watch it.
Yeah,
but like,
I want you to see it. It's not a complete waste of time. It's definitely worth checking
out. All the negative things that I heard about it are the things that I had already suspected about
Your
it.
Your preconceived notions had kind of come true. I wanted less Marvel and more Marvel. I wanted less of them, like, referencing, like, the Avengers and, like...
Like, what, maybe less of the movie, more of the comics.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Like, it, you know, let's get some lesser-known characters up in this piece and, you know, and make it interesting. And they didn't do that, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. They actually even... It sort of bummed me out that the plot line for the pilot was kind of... They borrowed from Iron Man 3, which is a movie that I wasn't too hot on. That,
yeah.
Like, they kind of piggybacked off of the plot of Iron Man 3, which is kind of a bummer. All in all, I'm going to give it time. I'm not going to rush to judgment and say it's terrible. It's not terrible, but it's not great.
I'm going to check it out.
It's worth checking out. There's worse shows, and there's better shows. Sleepy Hollow was better.
It just seems like, you know, they're not in the Marvel world. They're in, like...
The Marvel movies world.
Marvel movies world. Yeah, I hate that. I wish it...
They're too handcuffed to it. Like, I feel like we can't bring in new characters because they might want to use that in a movie or something.
Right, yeah. And,
because, you know, J. August Richards, I was like, oh, maybe he's Luke Cage. That would be awesome.
But would have been smart.
But I feel like...
But they only want to make a movie.
Maybe they want to make a Heroes for Hire movie, so they're like, don't touch that character.
But some pretty awesome news did come from...
Yes.
The how well, I guess Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did do well... On its first night.
Huge numbers.
And DC saw this and pulled the trigger on a show of their own that they want to bring to Fox.
Gotham Central?
Gotham Central is getting greenlit. It is greenlit.
Yeah, which is awesome. I'm very excited for that.
It's going to be a show set in the Gotham City universe starring James Gordon.
Yeah.
Working homicide in Gotham.
See, here's...
A young James Gordon.
Right.
Jim Gordon.
And they're inferring that some form of Batman will be in the show.
I'm thinking it's going to be its own universe.
Which would be great.
Which would be awesome, yeah. Just do it.
Which is what they did with Smallville. It was his own thing.
Yeah.
That's
what they said. They said it's going to be a lot like Smallville.
Yeah, and it'll probably be on the CW because Warner Brothers is...
I heard it's going to be Fox.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, I just assumed CW because of Warner Brothers.
Sort of Warner Brothers, yeah.
Fuck. Good for them.
I mean, that's what I read. I could be wrong.
We'll see what happens.
Read one article, but they said they want to use origins of like pretty big... Batman villains, and we might possibly see a young Bruce Wayne. Now, all I'm saying is, if they want to do this show right off of the bat, first episode has to be Detective Jim Gordon investigating the murder of...
Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Right.
Yeah, that would be
And that would
awesome.
Be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yes.
But we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah. And, I guess I'll, did you watch any movies or anything this week?
All I watched was Breaking Bad and Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah,
Sons of Anarchy didn't really pick up.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's still like...
Mediocre.
Yeah, I think it's because like they're like trying to end it, so it's...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm
interested to see how it ends, but it has not really been piquing my interest.
And obviously we're going to... Mention Breaking Bad, that we're not going to talk about Breaking Bad. But,
no.
But we did decide that we're going to do a Pop Junk TV episode. We're going to do a bonus episode this week. We're going to talk the finale of Breaking Bad, because it's going to be everywhere after Sunday. So later this week, we're going to do we're going to talk about Breaking Bad's finale. And we're going to do top five series finales.
Yes.
Which is a very something I'm very excited to get into, because there's a lot...
We should
great shows that ended kind of badly, and there's some mediocre shows that ended great.
I'm thinking we should do best series finales, and at least talk about some really shitty ones that we hated.
Yeah, absolutely. We can talk about we can go both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah,
no doubt on that.
There's some things that need to be talked about.
Yeah, definitely. So I say we just dive into this list. I want to talk some movies that made me a little weepy.
Okay, let's do it.
Made me cry.
Yeah.
The
good thing about this list is, like, you know, we're doing our top five movies, but within these movies, we're going to discuss certain scenes.
I was going
to
say, yeah, there is a particular scene in every one of these movies that makes you... Well, maybe actually one of my movies, which is a movie that you recommended to me, that it's probably about four or five times that you just want to, like, either turn it off or just start, like, bawling, because it's so depressing.
I wonder if it's the same movie that I have on
Probably, here. Because it was, like, We'll get into it. We'll get into it. All right. So my number five. This was mentioned a lot. I'll just say it's the listener list. There was we put out a thing on Facebook to say you know right. if you're a listener of the show or if you're just a friend of mine, what movies made you cry? This one popped up a lot. This was on Sage's list. This is a movie that I saw in the theater. Came out in 2004. It was directed by a man named Tim Burton. This was his last good movie, in my opinion. This is a movie that scored 77% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is kind of a bummer. I really thought it was going to be higher. 77's good, but...
You know, I haven't seen it in a really long time.
Yeah, I'm talking about a movie called Big Fish. And the particular scene that makes you... That evokes the you know, gets the tears going is the funeral scene.
It's the end.
It's the very last scene. The movie. And it's not like there's the spoilers for all these movies. So if you've never seen Big
Fish,
turn
movies.
Turn this off and or go fuck yourself.
None of these movies are really that recent, except for one I have that came out on DVD maybe this year or last year. But anyways, we'll see.
It's legit. It's the funeral scene because it's the point of the movie where it finally gets grounded in reality a little bit.
Kinda, yeah.
And it goes back and forth between like this fantastic story this guy is telling and reality. But it's the first time for me anyways where the two they come together.
Yeah.
And it's just a scene of a lot, you know, this guy lived this really grand life and you think it's kind of bullshit the whole time, but you realize it's not. And all these characters come together to kind of celebrate this guy's life. And it really does like hit home for you. You know what I mean? It makes you, it's something inside me. It was like, you know, it's real life, you know, like funerals and stuff. And
the actual part that got me, I mean, I also cried at that part. But the scene that really did it for me was like all the people that he ran into along
the
movie.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
They're all there. And,
yeah,
like,
and they're interacting with each other and telling stories. There's no dialogue.
Yeah.
The camera's scanning through the people and these people are interacting and you just know that they're telling stories about him. They're like celebrating his life.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really emotional.
Yeah, I love that part. It's so great.
And it's a great ending to a great movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an underrated movie, but it's not talked about a lot. Just a solid flick overall. You're looking for fire.
Sorry.
That's okay. Evan's looking for his lighter. I found it over here. There you go, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Maybe we'll edit that out.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Before you fire that up, though, why don't you hit me with your number five?
All right, number five. I don't know. I thought this should have been pretty high on my list, but all the other ones were like kind of for nostalgic reasons.
Yeah.
But number five is a movie that came out not too long ago starring Liam Neeson called The Gray.
Oh, good call.
Oh, God. The end of this movie really...
This is a movie that... Came and went. I'm sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to point this out.
That's okay. No.
It came and went really quickly, and it was completely mishandled trailer-wise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You think it's this weird action movie. It's Liam Neeson just fighting wolves. That's not the point of the movie.
Yeah.
It's such a deconstruction about life.
It has so much more meaning.
Oh, there's so many layers to this movie. It's amazing.
The trailers for this movie basically made everybody think, oh, it's Liam Neeson fights wolves.
Yeah, that's just the point of the movie. He's like out in the wild and he's fighting wolves.
It has very little to do with that. Yeah, this is another movie that was really like... This flew under the radar, mismarketed.
Yeah, this movie got me right in the feels.
Everyone I know that has seen this movie loved it.
Yeah.
I recommend this to a lot of people. I recommend this to you and you loved it.
Oh, yeah.
But the end when spoilers, I'm sorry for this movie, but if you gotta see it.
If you haven't seen it, fast forward like a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to block my ears.
You haven't seen it? Oh,
yeah,
no.
Sage has never seen The Gray. It's pretty amazing.
It's the end of the movie. Everyone's dead.
Yeah.
Pretty much. The movie's about like a group of survivors.
Yeah.
After a plane crash, but I mean, everything that happens to every survivor is pretty heavy.
Oh, yeah. There's one, the guy that, Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
His is so heavy.
He's just, like, ready to lay down and die. Just,
yeah,
and it's like,
oh, my God. That's when I was, at that point in the movie, I was like, this movie's amazing.
Well, there was the other one, the last guy to die, when he's trying to pull him up from the river, and he can't.
Oh, it's brutal.
He's like, foot is stuck.
Yeah, it's fucking brutal.
And he just can't. Oh, man. And then there's a scene when Liam Neeson's like, he's like looking up, and he's like, come on, you know, if there's a God, you know, show yourself, fuck face. Yeah. That's a great scene. I love that part. And he's like, I knew it myself. but there's the end where he's like reflecting on, there's like the saying that he has.
Oh yeah. There's like that little speech that he gives.
Yeah. And, he's like reflecting on, his father, like, holding him. And then, he's like basically ready to die. He's,
oh, it's so heavy.
He's getting ready to fight the wolves. And like, there's a great, great song that plays.
Yep.
At the end, and it really hits
this is,
you.
This is one of those times where we're talking about a movie where it's like, this demands a rewatch for me. This week, I might have to sit down.
Somebody I know put it on Facebook that they're watching it, and it made me instantly want to watch it again.
Such a great movie.
I love
I'm not I don't think I'm overstating it. It's really just such an under-the-radar.
Such a good movie.
Great, great flick.
But that part really gets me right at the end.
Oh, yeah. It's heavy. That's a movie that like I watched in front of my computer. When the credits hit, like, I just kind of took my headphones off and just kind of, like, had to decompress for a minute. Like, what did I just watch?
Yeah, I mean, it's not super depressing. The end is sort of hopeful.
It's a little uplifting, but it's heavy.
Like, I would say the deeper meaning of the whole movie is, like, don't stop fighting.
Yeah.
And, the music definitely helps with the whole being, you know, with the misty eyes.
Oh, yeah, big time.
But, that's my number five. That's what I
good
got.
Good call. Good pick. Great pick. My number four... It's a movie that came out in 1996, directed by a man named Edward Zwick, who I am familiar with because you made me watch Last Samurai. Yeah, it's the director of Last Samurai.
You know, I was going to put it on my list, but I didn't.
No, but it's not Last Samurai that I'm talking about. Did not make me.
Director of
Last Samurai.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, I thought.
This is a movie that, this is the first time I cried in a movie theater. This is a movie that I don't know why I saw this. I don't know. It's a good movie. It's 85% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a movie starring Denzel Washington and Meg Ryan, who I do not enjoy, but she was good in this movie. It's called Courage Under Fire.
Oh, man.
There's a scene at the end of this movie. There's like the whole plot is around like what happened with like Meg Ryan's character and all the people in her platoon and whatnot. Actually, Matt Damon in this movie is awesome.
Yeah, and he like underwent like.
Like a weird...
Insane, like...
Weight loss,
because he was trying to portray a junkie.
But there's a scene when Denzel Washington has to visit the family of a man, as a friend of his, that he killed in friendly fire. And he's got to go visit this guy's family and tell them what happened.
Yeah.
And it is gut-wrenching.
It's extremely gut-wrenching.
It's gut-wrenching. Yeah. It's so hard to watch. Like, that is a... That's a bad... You know, situations like that have occurred in real life?
Right, because it was tough because, like, he was involved with what happened.
Right.
And
then
like,
it shows the scene of what happened, and it's like this big accident where it's like, oh, you know, we just fired our own guys.
Yeah.
And it's played by Sean Astin.
Because you don't know what happened to the whole movie.
Yeah, and they reveal it at the end. And the Sean Astin character, like, it's this thing where, like, oh, my God, we blew up our own guys. And he pulls him, not literally pulls him, but emotionally pulls him back in, and they take out the rest of the enemies. It's a great scene.
Let me just say that... I love Sean Astin, and he is on my list for another movie.
Oh, I think I know what movie you're talking about. Maybe we'll get there. But Courage Under Fire, if you've not seen that movie, I have just spoiled it for you, so I apologize. But it's a good
movie. It's been out for a very long time.
It has. Yeah, 96, I mean.
I don't know if you know what I mean or the viewer knows what I mean, but that is the greatest movie based on true events that's not based on true events.
I know what you're saying. Like it's situation.
Like, it seems like it could be based on true events, but
like
it's
it
not.
Seems like a situation that has maybe occurred
probably,
before.
Probably, yeah.
You know, like a culmination of many different situations.
Some great actors in that movie.
Oh, a lot of good...
Fucking Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips is great
and
that.
He's
underrated
so good.
Actor, Lou Diamond Phillips.
Very underrated.
And by underrated actor, I mean he plays a lot of different ethnicities.
Yeah.
Sometimes
he's an Indian.
And sometimes he's Latino.
Yep.
Sometimes he's Native American, sometimes he's not.
I think he's actually Latino.
Sometimes I think they're trying to portray him as an Italian man. I'm not sure.
Right, yeah. Nobody knows.
But, awesome movie. Awesome. Like, I really, but it gets you right in the feels.
Oh, yeah.
Right in the feelings.
Right in the old heart strings.
Yeah. So, that's my number four, Courage Under Fire. I thought I'd throw
That's a great pick.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
That's a good pick. What do you got for number four?
All right, number four. This one dates back way back to my childhood. And somebody said it, maybe two people said it on the list, on the comments yesterday. Homeward Bound. There's a number of good actors and actresses in this movie, and I don't know who directed it, but yeah, I remember this was like, probably one of the first movies I cried at. If not, then my number one is the first movie I cried at. But the end, when they finally get home, and there's a scene when the last dog, who I forget the actor.
Does Michael J. Fox do a voice of one of the
dogs? Yeah, he does.
That's the only thing I know about this movie. I don't think I've ever seen it in full.
I should have done more research, because the voice of the older dog.
Right.
Do you remember Homeward Bound?
I remember it. I don't think I've ever sat down to like watch the entire movie.
So like the cat and the dog come home, and then the Michael J. Fox dog comes home, and
what has this podcast become?
I don't know.
The cat comes home.
The cat comes home. They get home, and like everybody's happy, but like the older boy, who is like the master of like the older dog.
Right.
In the movie, like they like escape this harrowing like part with a train, and you don't know if the older dog got away, but the dog's name is Shadow.
Okay.
Michael J. Fox's name is I just lost it. Chance.
Yeah. It's Chance. Good call.
And you don't know if Shadow made it, and then the family's like feeling bad for the older son because like his dog didn't come back.
Don Amici was the name of was the voice of Shadow.
Yes.
He's one of the two rich guys in Trading Places.
Right. Okay. He's a great actor, but like at the very last second he comes back, and like the music and and like the anything involving like pets or dogs.
Oh yeah.
Like,
no, it always gets you.
He comes back, and then like they're all happy, and then Michael J. Fox gives like a really good speech at the end about family, and it kind of gets you.
Even though he's a dog,
but like, but like that's not the point.
I know what you're saying.
It has to do with like family.
Sage, yay or nay on Homeward Bound? I've never seen it.
It's
get you in the feels.
That second, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a children's movie about animals.
All right.
Yeah.
But it's Look Who's Talking.
I rewatched it, and I rewatched the scene, and it still gave me the same exact feeling.
Oh no, I saw it on TV recently and bawled my eyes.
Oh god. God, yeah. All
right.
It's because he's old. They think, like, he didn't make it because he's too old.
Right.
I'll send you the scene later tonight so you can cry by yourself.
Maybe I won't watch it tonight.
I'm coming. I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that's my number four, Homeward Bound.
Cool. All right. So, you know what's funny is this and we went to, we picked, like, kind of a downer topic, and this week's episode is complete opposite of last week's episode.
Right.
A lot of jokes. No jokes this time.
We were like cutting loose.
Yeah, now we're just like getting all like, ugh.
Like,
yeah.
We're getting all soft and melty.
My number three, this is, I want to say not, this is a documentary that make me watch. You told me to watch it, and I did. And it was one of the hardest, like, most difficult movies to make it through ever. It's a true story. It's a movie called Dear Zachary.
Yeah.
And,
you know, this would have made it on my list too, but I tried to block it out from my mind because of how fucking insane it is.
It's one of the most... I'm not even going to get into... Because this movie... This is a documentary with a twist, and it's a horrible twist.
And, well, it's not a horrible...
Yeah, it's a horrible twist.
It's not like horrible, like it ruined the documentary.
No. I'm saying like it's something that...
It's a horrible event.
Yeah.
That happens.
Because like the premise of the documentary is super depressing, and then it gets like more depressing. Like, and these are all real things that happened, and it's not, there's not one particular moment that made me, you know, choked up. There's several.
I would say this, not only did this documentary make me cry, it brought forth many, many emotions.
Yeah. Anger.
Anger.
maybe I have to poo.
Maybe I had to poo once.
No, it does. It gets you pretty riled up. Makes you upset. Makes you
It gets you pretty upset.
Makes you anxious.
Yeah.
A lot of anxiety watching this movie.
Yeah.
Not knowing, you know, where it's going and what's going to happen to these people.
But
this is one I'm actually not going to ruin for people, because if you think you can make it through, I'm not daring you. I'm just saying the subject material, it's very heavy.
It would be difficult for me to recommend this to anybody. I wanted you to watch it because I know how much you like documentaries, yeah. And this is one of the hardest ones I've ever had to watch in my life.
I'll tell you the premise before the twist part is there's a guy making a documentary, for his friend's son. And his friend died.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's making a documentary for, you know, the son of a friend of his that died.
Yeah.
And then there's this weird tale that comes along with it.
The reason why there's a twist is because something happened during the filmmaking.
Right. Like, he's documenting, like, you know, he's basically making this movie for this little kid, so when he grows up, he'll know his dad.
Right.
You know, it was like, oh, you know, your dad was my best friend, blah, blah, blah. And, like, this is, you know, he's chronicling it. And as he's, like, shooting this documentary, like, shit goes down.
Something crazy really happens. Yeah. Something fucked up happens.
So, it's a tough movie to make it through. This is at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, it's just, like, it's really well done.
I mean,
I don't want to even say it's interesting. Like, it's beyond that.
The only thing about it is, like, it's so crazy, I can't believe I've never read a news story about it.
Yeah.
Like,
man, I was glad I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, I mean, it's gotta be all true. I mean, I would say so.
I mean,
but I can't believe that, like, I've never seen it before. Like,
yeah.
Like, how I never heard about it or seen a trailer. But I mean,
it's basically the premise is about enduring tragedy. And
yeah.
And it gets super heavy. But that's about, my number three.
It's about family and, like.
Yeah.
My favorite character in the whole, it's weird to even say, like, a favorite character, but the best character in the whole documentary is the father.
Yeah, the father of the guy that he's making the documentary about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's move on because I want to forget that movie.
Agreed. My number three, another one that goes back to my childhood, movie called The NeverEnding Story.
Oof. This seems... on our listener list, this was number one.
Yeah. Yeah, this was mentioned a few times.
Yeah.
There's a scene that I'm sure... There's a scene that I'm sure everybody remembers of a horse called Artax.
Yep.
And he cannot make it through the swamp of sadness.
Oh, and it is sad.
And he starts to sink, and he's not making it. And
kudos to the kid who played Atreyu, because he sells that scene.
He sells it. He helps in me making man tears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the horse does not make it, and he's trying to pull him out of the swamp of sadness, and he can't do it, and he dies, and... Oh, man. Just thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Really. Oh, God. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my number three.
What can you say about... I mean, that's one of those movies that I watched as a kid, and I remember thinking, like, wow, this movie's super depressing.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of redeeming qualities to this movie. Like, not redeeming qualities is, like... That's a weird choice of words. It is a decent movie.
Is it a decent movie? I haven't seen it in a while. I just remember it from being a kid.
I don't, like, love it.
It's a weird movie.
It is. It's very strange. The Nothing. I love The Nothing.
The Nothing and the
Big Rock Guy.
The Big Rock Guy, yeah.
Sebastian, please.
I just remember, Sebastian, please.
I've seen that movie
Say my name.
I just remember the scene when he's, like, in the river and there's those two, like, boob statues.
Oh, yeah.
Are they boob statues or am I just adding that in?
Who the hell knows?
So, Sage, do they have boobs, the statues? All right, maybe I just added that.
I'm saying they had boobs.
I think they had boobs.
I'll say boobs.
So they had the boob statues. maybe I'm thinking a Naked Gun.
Probably.
I think I'm thinking a Naked Gun when he's like, wow, and he's like holding it. He's like holding up. See, now we're getting the giggles.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, so maybe I'm thinking a Naked Gun. Anyways, the statues with the eyes, and I remember that part freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because fucking statues with laser eyes really freaks me out.
This is a movie that Matt made me watch. Matt, our older brother. He would watch this.
I think I watched it because
he was big into it. And I remember watching it with him and being like, this movie's making me upset.
Yeah. I think I watched it because of him.
It's not having happy feelings. I don't even think it had... I couldn't even tell you the ending of this movie. Don't remember off the top of my head. Just remember, like pinpoint.
I think he just finishes the book. And I remember he's like running away from bullies.
Yeah. And like hiding and reading. And yeah. I just remember that I hated reading at
such
that age.
Weird. I don't know. It has that like weird 80s nostalgic that I like though. Yeah.
All right.
There's no movies that are like that.
So I'm gonna do my number two.
Number two.
This is my, I don't want to say embarrassing pick, but this isn't a movie that's gonna make everyone cry. It's just gonna make me cry.
Okay.
And it did one night. This movie came out in 1993, and I'm actually gonna, people say this movie sucks. I defend this movie, and it is at 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. A movie called Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. There's a scene in this movie, I'm going to say, partly because I was watching this late at night by myself, and I was a little inebriated, and there's a scene, and I can explain why this made me cry, but there is a scene, you know how his wife's mother, like, really resents him? She's a little racist.
Yeah, yeah, she's a little racist.
And then
that's a really good movie.
That's a great movie. I love this movie. But when she finally meets their child, Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
She picks him up and she's like, oh my God, he's beautiful and blah, blah, blah. And like Bruce is just like admiring and he's like, you did it, Brendan. You brought the family together. I just started crying out of nowhere when that scene happened. I was like, this is the saddest thing ever. I think partly because it's really tragic what happened to Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
It's extremely tragic. It's tragic what happened to Bruce Lee. Like that whole story, like that's super depressing to me. I'm a big Bruce Lee fan. And I think there's so much of his story that's so interesting, and he died so young, so tragically.
I don't think he gets enough credit.
Does not get enough credit. Because his big thing, he was big on the fact that there were no Asian leading men.
Yeah.
And he was, like, trying to, like, fight type, and there still isn't.
Yeah.
There still isn't. It sucks. It's sad.
I think if he never died, he would have became bigger.
I mean, you would hope so, but, I mean, just when you look at Hollywood and, like,
what year did he die?
Christ, I want to say some kind of 73, 74, 75.
Yeah, it was really...
I mean, but that movie, that movie rules. For two, that scene made me cry like a little boy.
Like, I wish Dad was like, I don't even know if he's into Bruce Lee.
I don't know.
But I wish he was, because, like, I want to know what it was like.
Yeah, like, was it a big deal? Was like, it huge? Culture-wise?
Yeah, exactly. Was it huge? Because that's like his...
That's his wheelhouse.
Yeah, 70s, like, 60s, 70s, you know? Because he fucking saw Star Wars when he was, like, 20.
Yeah, so, But yeah, I will defend that. But people say, like, I don't know, it kind of gets like a bad rap as like a crappy 90s movie. But it's not.
It's really low budget, but...
it is a little bit, yeah.
But it is a really good movie. I defy anybody to...
Nothing became of Jason Lee, the guy who played Bruce Lee. And I thought he was really good in that movie.
Is that really his name?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, weird, right? Nothing, he went on to do nothing.
Yeah.
And he was really good in that movie.
He was really good. I think he did a really good portrayal of Robert Lee.
Another great scene in that movie that almost gets the, wells up the tears a little bit is when he's watching his movie. And it's actually funny and sad. And, like, sad in, like, a good way. But when he's watching he's at his premiere of I think it was Big Boss.
Yeah.
And the movie ends and it's silence. And he's like, oh, shit, let's get out of here.
Yeah. And isn't he, like, grabbing his girlfriend? And he's like, let's
grab his
fuck
wife.
Out.
And it shows this one guy and he's like, he's crying, and yeah. It was like a show of respect. Like that's how they did it.
Yeah,
like it was that like they loved the movie so much that like you know when it's over, like you give it silence, and then they like uproariously like started cheering.
Yeah,
and
he's like
up.
he's like
holy
shit!
Good. Oh man, I love that movie.
I love that movie because there's some like really crazy things that happened to him in his life that they show. Like
yeah, they fudge it a little bit.
There's, like, a fight scene that happens during one of the filmings of a movie.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that, like, it's true-ish.
Yeah.
Like, the guy that, like, broke his back, that happened, but it didn't happen like that.
It didn't?
No. It's different.
I've always wanted to know, like, what actually happened in that
part. It's weird. Like, if you get into, like,
wasn't he, like, settling something? Like...
Yeah, it was weird. Like,
was it because they didn't want him teaching,
It was his... Yeah, they didn't... That's something they don't really get into in the movie is that, like, people didn't want him teaching that martial art. And, like, there was... Like, he had, like sanctioned fights with people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They weren't, like, back alley brawls. They were like, all right, me and you will fight on such and such a date and whatever.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, just a great movie. I mean, whatever.
I'm glad that we had a big discussion about
Bruce Lee.
The Bruce Lee story.
We need more love about just Bruce Lee movies in general are just so good. I love... End of the Dragon is one of my favorite movies.
Love End of the Dragon. I own that on DVD.
It's a must own. But, And
is there a one John Saxon in that movie?
There is a one John Saxon in that movie.
One John Saxon.
Of Nightmare on Elm Street fame.
And Terminator 1.
Yeah.
He's, Terminator 1, yeah, he has call. Like...
He's one of the cops.
He's like supposed to be watching Reese and then like he gets fucking kneed in the stomach.
A one John Saxon.
A one John Saxon, yeah.
And he's good in that movie too. He's good in Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, he is good, yeah. I like
he's like
part,
the
yeah.
quintessential like American like... It's like the Johnny Cage almost.
I like when they're putting together the show that they did.
Oh, when they're doing Green Hornet.
Yeah, I love when they're putting together Green Hornet.
You know what I wish they had showed is he did a guest spot as Kato on Batman.
Holy shit, I didn't
like
know
Adam
that.
Like Adam West Batman.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Bruce Lee was on there like kicking the shit out of people.
Because it was like the same time. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's my number two.
Good. I'm glad we had a big discussion about that.
All right.
My number two.
Number two.
This is a movie that I love. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. I own it on Blu-ray.
Oh, good.
I know everything about this movie. I know all the actors, and I know who directed it. This is a movie from Peter Jackson. I finally did my research. This is it's a movie called The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Really?
Yeah. There's a scene at the end. When Frodo decides that he wants to go off on his own, and he gets in the boat, and Samwise Gamgee wants to go with him.
Yes, he does.
But he cannot swim.
No, he cannot.
So he goes, and he's in the water, and he cannot swim, so he's drowning. And
he basically just like goes into the water like Jason.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, like part six.
Yeah.
But... He's like, you know, you can't leave. And then Frodo pulls him up into the boat.
Yeah, it's a pretty good scene.
He gives a speech. He's like, you know, sucks that you have to bear this burden. And
you shouldn't have to bear it alone. Should,
yeah, you have to bear it alone. And I don't want to leave you and I don't mean to. It got me in the feels because it's about friendship. And,
yeah.
And in the movie, they're friends. But in the book, he's his servant.
Yeah, which is weird.
But I like it more that they're just friends.
Yeah, it adds another layer to the
yeah. But like,
story.
It kind of like, because there's like really great music that's playing, and it's just about like he's trying to help his friend, and he doesn't want to leave him.
I mean, I saw Lord of the Rings for the first time at a weird age. I think I was some kind of 22, 23. And I was, you know, it came out like almost 10 years ago. It was 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
And like, I remember like, I liked it. I was like, oh, that was good. And it was really cool. I appreciate everything about it. That scene didn't really strike a chord with me. But I did watch it again recently. And that scene did stick out. It was like a very emotional, very moving scene. And I did like it. I mean, it also didn't help the fact that I saw a midnight screening of this movie not knowing it was 3 hours long.
There's a weird thing with me, and I'm glad that I get to talk about it now, but there's a weird thing about Lord of the Rings with me right now. Mm. When I had first viewed it when it was first coming out, I didn't really pay much mind to it. Like, I still really liked it.
That's what I'm saying
about it.
My first view of the movie. I watched it, I was like, yeah, that's good.
But over the years, Lord of the Rings has become, like, this huge thing to me. Like, it's... I watched it then, and, like... I don't know if I really paid attention much. I still liked it. Like, the visuals are great. But now, I watched it recently. The whole movie is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really long, but it's good.
Yeah, it's long with good reason.
All the hobbits are extremely lovable.
Yes.
Viggo Mortensen is amazing.
Yeah, he's pretty damn good.
There are so many great actors.
It's the most you're ever going to like Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's the best actor.
No, I'm saying that's the best he's ever been.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sean Bean.
Sean Bean
can't.
He also has a sad scene in this movie.
Yeah, that's pretty his death spoilers.
Yeah.
When the little speech he gives right before he dies is pretty good. You know what's funny? Yeah, I did. I watched Lord of the Rings recently, and it was getting me in, like, different, like...
Yeah.
I was getting a little bit more emotionally wrapped up in the story and the characters.
I don't know what it is. Like, I had a huge, like... I like Lord of the Rings, but I kind of felt like it was boring.
Yeah.
I watch it now. I don't think it's boring. I love it.
It's very...
It's one of my favorite movies.
I think the best adjective that would capture Lord of the Rings in my mind is it's a very rich movie.
It's extremely rich.
Yeah.
I could put this movie on...
It's
on
like a moist cake.
It is. Many layers.
Right.
I could put this movie on a rainy Sunday afternoon and just love the entire shit out of it.
Pop Junk Movies Hall of Fame, I would say.
Oh, agreed.
It's in the Pantheon.
It's,
For me, it is.
Might I say, it has become up there with Star Wars for me.
I
absolutely love
This is the Lord measure of a movie for me, is... Sage can attest to this. I'm a very, I don't want to say flighty person, but I don't sit down very much unless it's the end of the night and I'm going to watch a movie and go to bed.
Yeah.
But this is a movie that she had on, this is a couple months ago, but she put it on and it got me to like, and like after I got home from work, I usually like run to the gym or whatever and do a bunch of errands, but like she had this on and I was like magnetized to the chair and I was like, oh cool, Lord of the Rings. And then I didn't get up for like an hour and a half.
Because
it was like in the middle at some point.
I don't use this word lightly, but it's visually stunning.
It is visually stunning.
It's amazing.
And it's funny that we have to drum up this movie. Because it was like, I mean, the third movie won Best Picture.
Yeah.
You know? And like, we have to like sit here and like remind people about how good it is. And I think with good reason. It's just, it's...
I think over time,
it's aged very well.
It's aged like a fine wine. I say that with the most, what's the adjective I'm looking for?
Vigor.
Admiration.
Admiration.
I don't know what it is about Lord of the Rings, but over time, I absolutely love it. It looks so good. It has an amazing score,
yeah.
Amazing actors,
yes.
Peter Jackson... Just amazing. It's,
yeah, good call.
But that's not the point. The point is that the end made me cry.
Right. All right.
So, yeah.
So we basically just got the gush about two movies we loved.
This was a good list.
It was a good list.
Yeah.
All right, my number one. I'll make this snappy. This was a revisit from one of your lists. This is in your top five movies you're ashamed to admit you've never seen.
Oh.
This is a movie that... I'm not ashamed to say it makes me cry, but there's a reason it makes me cry. Like, the end of this movie gets me weepy. There's a couple reasons. I'll just say the movie. Directed by Steven Spielberg, came out in 1982. This movie's at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not a lot of movies get 98%, my friend. It's a movie called E.T.
That was mentioned a lot on the
It was.
Comments.
It was, and it made me not want to put it as my number one, but I couldn't not, because this is a movie that... This is the corniest thing I've said yet on the podcast. E.T. is a magical movie.
I know what you mean when you say magical.
It's a magical movie.
I know what you mean.
It's back in the day. Like, if E.T. came out today, he'd be so fucking CGI, it would take you straight out of the movie. It really would. I'm not bullshit. But it was just like, he was just this really unique looking, like, we're good. He was this really unique looking, like, monster alien type thing. But, like, over the course of the movie, like, he's so real to you. Because
yeah.
You start to, like, really get emotionally invested in, like, this family that he's with and everything. And then at the end, like, he's, like, Elliot's really, like, not his only friend. But, Christ, this is corny as hell. But, like, he's leaving and it's so emotional and I can't even describe why. But I think the biggest part... that makes me cry. The reason is that this movie is so nostalgic to me. Like, this movie is my childhood. Like, Elliot's room, it's like Star Wars figures scattered
yeah,
everywhere. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's just something about
Spielberg.
E.T. that... It
totally tries to tell E.T. like who Boba Fett is.
Oh, it's so good.
And it's the best thing ever.
All right, I gotta watch it.
It's
I
like,
have to watch it.
It, like, captures that, like, childhood imagination so well. It's not like...
Little girl.
Yeah,
before she's like ruined.
But no, there's something about it. It's less about the story and more about what that movie is to me personally.
Right.
I will say that. That's really what it is all about.
There are lots of feels in that movie.
A lot of feels in that
movie. I've seen one screen cap.
Yeah.
That's a huge one to me.
I've seen one screen cap that I was like, I think I have to watch this, where it's them hugging.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
It's just a good... It's Spielberg at his best, because I think recently he's been at his worst.
Yeah. I think after Saving Private Ryan, nothing good has come.
Yeah. It's a great, like, these are all things that I hate. These are all, like, sayings that I hate, but it's a feel-good movie. It really is. And it's not, like, a sad cry at the end of the movie. It's, like, I don't know. You may not have the same connection to this movie as I do, because it's just, it came out, like, I saw this at, like, 5 years old, six years old.
I'm pretty big on nostalgia, so I might like it.
E.T. transcends the Goonies trap.
I think you're right. I think, because I always say, like, if I saw Goonies for the first time today, I was like, it wouldn't mean as much to me as it did back then. It's, you know, it's dated or whatnot. But I think, yeah, I want you to watch E.T. because I want to know what a man in his late 20s thinks of this movie, seeing it for the very first time.
Okay, yeah.
It's such a well-made movie. The reason I hated Super 8 is because of how much I love E.T. It was J.J. Abrams trying too much to recapture the essence of E.T.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same. It's so much more like... I hated Super 8. I really did. I hated it. It was ambitious, and I appreciated the ambition of the movie.
Nice try.
It was a good try, but it was just like... It reminded me of what I liked about E.T., and it was... E.T.'s a great movie.
Yeah.
The end makes me weepy as fuck.
If I have anything to offer to, like, young listeners, maybe, is you gotta revisit those types of movies.
You gotta trust us.
Yeah, you have to revisit, because those movies don't get made anymore. And I know what you're talking about with E.T., you know, like Jaws and those Spielberg movies. Like, those
they
movies
have a feel, they have a vibe.
Yeah, they don't get made anymore.
No, they don't.
You know, like, that's it. Like, go revisit those movies, because that's it.
You know what's interesting is reading Spielberg's original vision of E.T. Very dark.
Is it?
Very dark.
Wow.
Yeah, very gritty.
I'm glad it did not. I was reading a list about things you didn't know.
Jedi.
Things you didn't know about Jedi, and
yeah,
like
the
number one was pretty dark.
It was Luke putting Vader's mask on, becoming Vader.
I would say that was just
Lucas's
like,
dead body. That would have happened.
Yeah, I think that was just Lucas maybe talking out of his ass.
Yeah,
just kind of like, this is what would have been. It wouldn't happen.
All right, so what do you got for number one?
All right. This is one that really hits home. You're gonna laugh.
Okay.
I hope the listeners laugh. But and nobody mentioned this on the comments.
Good.
I had to put this as number one. Do you know what it is?
I have no clue.
Terminator 2.
Nice.
Are
you talking thumbs up into the? That's a great scene. That's not my honorable mention.
This has a lot of things that goes into it. This is one. Terminator 2 is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yes.
As a kid, it was my favorite movie. It still is. But it has a lot of great themes. Like one that really driving home, which is why it made me cry. It's about a boy and his robot. The theme, that was one of my favorites about the movie.
It's his only friend.
It's a father figure, yep. Right?
Which I feel like Cameron almost ran into by accident.
Yeah,
Doesn't
agree.
It kind of feel that way?
Yeah, because it wasn't supposed to be, but it ended up being.
Because Arnold was such a big star, they were like, well, he can't be the bad guy, so we'll make him the good guy. And then I feel like as that script came together,
it
just made sense.
And like the stuff about Sarah Connor, about how like he's so different than any of the other fathers or boyfriends that she had.
Yeah.
Like, he'll never do all the negative things that they do. Like, he'll never... A quote is, he'll never hit him. He'll never yell at him.
Yeah.
He knows... The Terminator knows that he has to go for humanity to keep on living. And he realizes that humanity is more important. And he says it like, you know, I can never cry. And he, like, wipes away his tears, and it's really fucking sad.
Yeah.
And then he has to die. And, like, for me, like, as a kid, Arnold was my hero. Arnold was my idol.
Yeah.
And then to watch him die...
Yeah, that's actually, like, something that kind of gets overlooked in the whole Terminator movie is the hero of the movie is A, a robot, and B, dies.
And he's Arnold.
Yeah, and he's Arnold.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean, though? Like, in most movies, like, the hero, like, you know, the hero is triumphant and everything's cool. But, like, in this one, all right, the hero is triumphant... And he's got to kill himself.
For the good of humanity.
Right. Sacrifice.
I love he gives the handshake to Sarah Connor as like a final amends so she can like...
What a great movie. I'm just like, I'm forgetting, like,
this is what I've always wanted. This is what I've always envisioned for, like, for me to finally say how prolific and how important Terminator 2 is, and how sad it is at the end that nobody realizes it. Everybody will probably just dismiss it as like a sci-fi action movie, but like, it really has a lot to say at the end. You know, like, a machine has feelings for humans.
I know now
why you cry. Yeah. And it's something that I can never do. Oh God, that gets me.
So good.
And then he has to die. Like,
yeah. He was cool with it.
And it's a good 5-10 seconds of him just watching him slowly be lowered into the lava.
I'm gonna introduce you into a world, Evan. I'm gonna introduce you into an alternate universe where that is the only Terminator movie that exists. 1 and 2. Wouldn't that have been...
That's my only existence.
You know what I mean? Like, what a great ending to a story.
It's amazing.
Because
The only other thing that touched the sun with that, not even touched the sun, but like got close to touching the sun was the TV show, I think.
The TV show was going in the right direction.
It bridged... It was like, let's do a TV show after the events of T2.
Yeah.
And they could have done better.
It was
more
faithful to the James Cameron stuff than the next two movies were.
Yeah, it was. It was, definitely.
I mean, it went on, it got a little bonkers, but I mean, thematically.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And the show, I really enjoyed that... Instead of a boy and his robot, it was a boy and his robot girlfriend.
Yeah.
Which, it was fitting, because, like, he's a teenager and he needs a girlfriend.
Yes, he does.
And she was pretty fucking hot.
Yeah, some of them.
But,
she kills a lot of shows.
Yeah. I think T2, not T2, I think Sierra Connor Chronicles.
Sierra Hotel India.
I think that was her best, aside from Firefly.
Yeah.
But T2, that one gets me. It's one of my top, if I had to put a list of my top 5 favorite movies of all time, it would make the top 5.
That's in the Pantheon.
It's in the Pantheon. It's an amazing movie. Since we're talking about it, I'm going to add in the most groundbreaking special effects ever.
Yeah.
Arnold at his best.
Yeah. So this is prime. That was his peak.
Yeah, I mean, fuck you for people who are like, he had to be a robot, so that's why he was only
good.
Well,
how about this? He played essentially the same character in 2 movies, and was in one movie he was terrifying, and the other movie he was, like, lovable.
Yeah, he was, like, funny and lovable. Funny, I say, because of the deleted scenes. You have to go and watch
there's a couple good deleted scenes.
Very, very good deleted scenes.
Yeah. I think we'll be talking about T2, I think, in a couple of the lists.
So yeah.
I want to do best sequels, and I mean, that's a shoo-in right there for a top 5.
Definitely.
Good call, good list. I'll go through my honorable mentions real quick, because we've only got about 20 minutes, and we've got a lot of listener feedback. T2 is on my honorable mention, a little weepy at the end there. Mm-hmm. Rudy, not so much now, because I know a little bit more about the true story about how a lot of guys on that team didn't really like him.
Yeah.
But for its time, it was that movie gets me in the feels. Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams is a movie.
Field of Dreams,
You know,
playing catch with his dad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And in the baseball theme, I'll tell you a movie that makes me a little weepy, and I'll tell you the specific scene. League of Their Own. Get a little emotional at the end. And it's when she's looking up at the picture of Tom Hanks' character. Like, knowing that he died. Yeah. But, like, kind of the impact that he had on them. And I don't know. There's something cool about that scene. And then when there's that. And then right after, either after or before that, the character that's now old Gina Davis runs into Stillwell.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Mom died. And it's like, no.
Oh, God. So sad. I love that ending. That's such a great ending.
Such a good ending.
See, we were talking about this on our. We have walks that we take, and we were talking about, like, definitive endings.
Oh yeah, good.
Like point. How things that conversation stuck out.
Yeah.
And like
how for, like some movies or some shows just don't know how to end.
Yeah, and it's like you can't just end it in the middle of like a character's life.
Right.
But like a movie like feel a movie like League of Their Own.
Yeah, it has a really cool ending.
It has like, an ending. Like they jump to when they're old, and yeah. it's like...
They, like, wrap it up.
The last important moment of their lives.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah,
that
call.
Was it. That's a movie that I knew how to end.
Do you have honorable mentions?
I got a few.
Uh-huh.
All right. Green Mile.
Haven't seen it yet. I know. Gonna have to take a day.
John Coffey.
I kind of know what happens.
And he's...
He died in real life. He
died in real life.
Yeah.
It's even more sad.
Yeah.
But there's a scene... I'm not gonna...
Skip it, because I'm gonna... It's a movie I'm gonna visit soon.
It's really sad, and people are... People in the scene are crying.
Oh.
Michael Perrier?
The hell is that?
The guy... Remember we watched that movie Unknown? Oh, he's in 25th Hour.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about? He's one of his friends. Shit, he's in a shitload of really good movies.
Barry Pepper,
sorry. I didn't mean Michael Perrier. I don't know who that is.
That's not a person.
Barry Pepper, yeah. Somebody is going to be like, I know who Michael Perrier is. Barry Pepper. He's like crying, and when you see him crying, you're like, oh, no. Anyways, this was talked about in the comments, but the Simpsons episode.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple Simpsons
episodes. The one about his mom.
Yeah, that one's super depressing.
Oh, man. And then, like, the end of the episode is him, like... sitting on his car and he's crying. He's not crying. He's looking up at the stars.
Yeah.
And like it's oh god, it's so sad. This one I have to talk about.
Okay.
It's an episode of Battlestar Galactica.
Uh-oh.
And it's when Apollo is leaving to become a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not expecting it. He walks out on the hangar.
Mm.
And there's everyone's there for him. And there's like bagpipe music playing, and they're
not
all
bagpipes. Holy shit! Oh. Bagpipes gets a special mention on this list.
And
bagpipes are.
And they're like giving him a special like farewell, and like he hugs his dad, and like
it's,
one got me.
You're getting me right now.
Oh,
I'll go over the listener list. A lot of votes for Big Fish, which is on my list. The most votes were for A NeverEnding Story.
Yeah.
Lee put NeverEnding Story. I'll mention Lee. He's fine.
And he did the Futurama episode.
Yeah. And a lot of people gave it thumbs up, and it was on your list, so I think that's the highest. But couple votes for Field of Dreams. Sage mentioned Remember the Titans. The funeral at the end of that movie is pretty sad. I Am Sam. Never seen it.
No, I've never seen it.
But I've heard good things. Brian's Song, which is an old 70s movie remade recently. It is a sad movie. It's about... You know, some heavy stuff. Harry and the Hendersons was mentioned. Good call on this one, because when Lithgow is trying to get him to go back into the forest and he hits him.
Oh god!
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so depressing.
Oh,
I'm just crying now.
Yeah, that part. Yeah, that's so fucking sad.
Ladder 49, just fucking squirt lemon in people's eyes, because that's all they're trying to do with that movie. We Were Soldiers. Don't remember much about that movie except that I really liked it.
An extremely sad scene, not like one that made me cry, but one that was like extremely hard to watch and maybe kind of made me cry. But the scene in Saving Private Ryan when the medic is dying.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was really hard to watch.
Ribisi?
Yeah.
Good call. Yeah, We Were Soldiers. I remember like loving that movie, but I can't remember specifics about it.
I think it's when like they have to like go and deliver letters about like their fucking family members dying.
Yeah.
Oof. That's extremely sad. And it is really sad when, at the end of the movie, when Mel Gibson comes home. Because they don't know where he's coming home, and they know what's happening.
It's a Wonderful Life was mentioned. Great classic movie.
Never seen it.
Schindler's List, never seen it. Somebody mentioned Inception. Don't know why that would make you... I mean, people get emotional for different reasons.
There are some sad things that happen.
I love Inception.
Inception's a great fucking movie.
I think it's become an underrated movie at this point, because a lot of people bitch about it, and I think they're, I don't know. Dancer in the Dark, never seen it.
Gotta see it, because the things that people say about it, I guess.
Yeah, I've heard
good
things. Not the Bruce Springsteen video, Dancer in the Dark.
Not that, no, not the Courtney Cox part.
No. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, great movie. Could see why it gets you in the sads. Brokeback Mountain, stand by that movie. Great movie. Could see why it would make you sad. What Dreams May Come, never seen it. But I've heard it's super depressing.
Robin Williams.
Yeah. Bruce, not Bruce, Robert De Niro? Silence? I think De Niro's in this. I don't know. If he's not in it, I'm editing that out.
What Dreams Might Come is about Robin Williams. He dies.
Yeah.
It's really sad. It's incredibly... There's a part when like he finds his dog and he's like...
Oh, God. I'm not watching that. Yeah. Speaking of which, All Dogs Go to Heaven. Never seen it. Powder. Haven't seen that in a really long time. Got a couple votes, though.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I can't... It's not fresh in the brain.
No, that's a sad one.
I've heard it's very sad. Fox and the Hound. Never been, but I heard... It's very sad.
Never seen it.
Homeward Bound was mentioned. Man on the Moon was mentioned. I could see why. Whenever it's kind of based on a true story and it's a little tragic, I could see that like really evoking like a lot of, you know what I mean? Like he dies at the end.
Yeah.
John Q, never been. Lion King.
John Q's good. We're not going to pass over John Q like that.
All right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
John Q, very sad. If you watch it, it's about, like, his son.
I know Denzel. I don't know anything else.
It's about his son, and, his son's dying, and, like, he holds up a hospital to, like...
Cause oh, shit, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I remember, like, trailers and whatnot.
Actually, the subject matter kind of resonates with today's politics. Like,
about, like, healthcare and all that.
Yeah, he doesn't have money to pay for his son's heart transplant.
Yeah,
so, like,
depressing.
He holds up a hospital to, like... save his son. It's really sad.
Lion King was mentioned. Could see why that would make you cry. That was a very heavy movie with the father and I'm in on Lion King. That's actually a good animated movie. Rudy was mentioned, and Corey's two picks. SLC Punk. The end is pretty sad.
Yeah.
And The Rookie. He said the Dennis Quaid movie, The Rookie, but I read it as the Dennis Quaid movie. Like, it was the movie about Dennis Quaid.
You know, I read that, and then I thought of Frequency, which is kind of sad.
Oh, man. My God, such a good movie.
I love Frequency.
Frequency, very underrated movie.
Very underrated.
Jim Caviezel?
Jim Caviezel.
I love Frequency.
Extremely underrated.
Oh, my God. I own it.
Love Frequency. Good. You should own it.
I think Ted gave it to me. But probably. No, he was talking about The Rookie. It's when Dennis Quaid is like a pitcher. It's kind of a true story. I don't know if it made me cry, but I liked it.
Someone said the scene that like he's playing catch with his father, but like just go to Field of Dreams for that.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to play catch with dad, you're going Field
of Dreams. You're going Field of Dreams. Yeah.
Every day.
That's the saddest.
Oh, yeah. That's the sadness. So, thanks, guys, for sending in picks. I'm going to do this every week, probably. If we're going to do a top five, I'll just put it out. I'll put it out there the day before we do the
Please,
episode.
Please, send in your comments, and we'll mention them.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want your name mentioned on the show, let us know.
Yeah, for you, if you want us to... I mean, I mentioned Lee, because I know he doesn't care, and I mentioned Corey, because he's been on the show. And Paul actually answered, Paul, who's appeared on the show once or twice, he said Green Lantern, but not because it was sad.
Because it was awful.
And it made him cry.
Okay. Because he wanted it to be good and it wasn't.
Ah, that movie sucks. That movie sucks out loud.
Yeah, that movie sucks. It sucked in a whole different way.
So that was a good list.
Great. I'm glad we did that.
We didn't get silly, but we got emotional.
I'm glad I got to talk about in depth of movies that I absolutely love.
Yeah, there was a couple good movies in there that we hadn't talked about yet that I was glad we got to bring up. I was glad... It's not a guilty pleasure. I don't feel guilty for loving Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. It's just such a good movie.
It's a good movie. I mean, like, I would, at first glance, this is no detriment to how I feel about the movie, but it's kind of a dark to it seems like
it
a TV movie.
No, I know what you're saying. I mean, it had a theatrical release. I remember when it was out, but it does. It has that feel.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. But, I was glad I got to talk about it. And it was kind of a shame that it made me cry. But, you know what? No, there's a lot of elements going on there.
Yeah.
It's a sad scene. And it made me think about Brandon Lee. I mean, that dude, he died so tragically so young.
Yeah,
you know, it just made me, kind of bummed. But, that was good. We got a couple of minutes left. Is there any movie news that we came across the wire this week? There's nothing.
I mentioned Gotham Central.
Yeah.
That's
not movie news, my friend.
TV news, sorry. The trailer for Don Hemingway, which looks amazing.
Oh, Jude Law.
Jude Law, yeah.
I gotta check that out.
Looks so fucking good. Looks like Snatch, reminded me of...
Can we say Jude Law, underrated actor? Can
very,
we say that?
Very. Very underrated bald actor.
He is a baldsman.
He is a baldsman.
He's hiding it, but he's fighting a losing battle.
In this movie, he is not hiding it. Like, he's not in full head shave, but he is not hiding it.
You know a movie I really liked him in? It's a movie that is gonna, it's gonna make a list. It's a movie that came and went. I'm gonna have to find a way to shoehorn this onto a list, but Contagion. Contagion is awesome, and he's really good in it.
Best,
Him and Larry Fish.
Best disaster movies?
I don't know. I mean, that movie has an awesome cast. Matt Damon, Larry Fish.
Ensemble.
Great ensemble cast.
Yeah, great ensemble.
Separate star power, too.
Yeah.
Kate, what's her butt? Kate Winslet is really good.
I love Kate.
John Hawks. Can we have a John Hawks episode?
I think.
Can we please?
We
have
can.
Because Winter's Bone, he's fucking almost. He's like
menacing in like a good guy way.
Yeah.
Cause like he's like against the police, but he's like saving. Oh, he's trying to like God. Save his niece. But ensemble cast.
Are we having a new list?
Yeah, we could do a new list.
Oh, I would love to do it.
I was just thinking of an actor. I can't think of it.
We're doing a John Hawks episode.
One of my favorite actresses, Kate Winslet.
Really?
One of my favorite.
She's great.
Amazing.
I have to definitely agree with that.
Amazing. I love every movie she's in.
She was in a movie that was super terrible. Was it Revolutionary Road? But she's amazing in it.
Yeah, because she's a great actress.
Yeah. Revolutionary Road. I think I'm saying it right.
Yeah,
was that
Road.
Her and who played the husband? Fuckballs. I don't remember. But Michael Shannon played the neighbor. I might have just made that up.
No.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, was it DiCaprio?
DiCaprio, yeah. They had. Oh, all right. It was about mental problems.
Yeah. Oh, the movie was dumb, but she's amazing.
Is it dumb?
It's a little dumb.
I kind of wanted to see it.
It's worth a viewing. It goes places you don't want it to go. It's just like, I don't know. I watched it being like, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Like DiCaprio and her, like, you know, Titanic, whatever.
I have
but
one
like they're back in a movie. And,
I have one more worthy of mention for my list. Iron Giant.
A lot of people, that pops up on a lot of lists online.
That one's tough.
Yeah, but that would have been too much like T2.
Yeah, that's just why I did T2 and not Iron Giant. But Iron Giant's a great movie. It's a great animated movie.
Very cool. We need to get Ted back on the show.
I know. I want Ted's crazy antics.
I was going to have Ted do a full review of Cripe. I can't remember the movie now.
We need to do him a full review of Beast House.
Beast House is a book, not a movie.
No,
yet.
No.
Full review of Beastmaster.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do a full review of Beastmaster.
Yep.
Maybe
a full review of Willow. maybe a character deconstruction of Mad Mardigan.
Top 5 Val Kilmer movies.
Oh, yes. Yeah, MacGruber.
Number 5, The Salt and Sea. Oh,
fucking
That's
love,
a good movie.
I fucking love Salt and Sea.
Salt and Sea is a great
Love
movie.
Salt and Sea.
Classic Val Kilmer playing a crust punk.
Yeah, well...
Undercover
crust punk.
He's like
an undercover crust punk, yeah.
Fuck, that movie is awesome.
Undercover drifter, maybe.
Alright, let's wrap this shit up. Let's get the hell out of here. Let's go cry ourselves to sleep.
Hope you enjoyed the show.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a downer, but we got to talk about, you know, we have feelings, and we like to, sometimes we let those feelings out.
I think what this this list establishes is that we're super fucking nerds for, like,
yeah, oh yeah.
crying at sci-fi and fantasy movies.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm
comfortable with it, yeah.
I don't want to leave the feelings in, I want to let them out
All
through
right.
my eyes.
This last episode, I'm going to make a huge confession.
Uh-oh.
Huge confession.
You cried during Revenge of the Sith.
I cried during the redone Return of the Jedi. With the music.
Oh, that music is...
The new music in Return of the Jedi, the different music.
Are you, like, the only person that actually enjoyed a change in Return of the Jedi?
I liked it. I liked the music instead of Yub Nub. I liked it instead of Yub Nub.
Yep,
like
yep,
it's yep. like doo, doo, doo. And then it's really sad and because like
the Jedi does not get enough love. Everyone's like, oh, I fucking hate Ewoks, fuck you.
It's a fantasy movie, just let it be. Just
enjoy
everybody's
it.
Happy, let everybody be happy, and like Hanzo's dancing.
He's dancing a little bit.
I love like okay yeah okay everything at the end of Jedi I love that was changed, like they're toppling the the statue of yeah. Of the emperor in Coruscant, and that's fucking awesome.
You know what happened? Jinxed us. I said the other day when we were walking, I said, well, I don't think we've ever talked Star Wars on this.
And now we're talking Star Wars.
We are totally talking Star Wars.
We love Star Wars on the podcast. We are Star Wars fanatics.
Yeah, but I'm trying to not...
You're trying to dumb it down, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
But it's going to come out how much you love Star Wars.
Yeah.
I know that Jedi is a huge one for you.
That was the movie that I watched whenever I stayed home from school. Always
really?
Jedi. Always Jedi. It was a treat.
For me, it was Army of Darkness and Terminator.
All right, let's go. Let's get out of here. We are running out of time. I'm Adam.
I'm Evan.
Boo hoo! This was Pop Junk Movies Cries at Other Movies.
Hope our tears are enough for you.
See you next time.
Bye. See ya.
Pop_junk@twitter.com.
Maybe we'll end with a sad song.